And we're going to talk tonight about The Principal. That's right. It's an incredible movie that ties in just about everything that you want to know about cosmology, the universe, and just why we're even here. I'll be talking with Rick Delano in a moment. He is the director-producer of this incredible program next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Rick Delano has worked as a producer, executive producer, a financial consultant in the music and film industries for a number of years. Now, he's been fascinated with that question, as so many of us have been, our place in the cosmos. How did it start? So what he did is he had a $1,000 internet challenge to provide direct scientific proof of the universally assumed motion that the Earth went around the sun. Now, what he found out is that he couldn't collect. He was astonished to realize that no one had ever made a film examining Copernicus in that principle. So here he is on Coast to Coast. Rick, quite a night tonight. Good to have you with us.
Well, thank you, George. It's great to be here.
Now, you have been a film producer, an executive producer for a long, long time. How did you get interested in this field, this end of it?
Well, it's like you said, I was simply surfing the web one day. I came across a site where somebody said, I'll give you $1,000 if you can prove by direct measurement the motion of the Earth around the sun. And I thought to myself, well, I could use $1,000.
Of course.
And I thought, I wasn't clever enough to realize that there was a catch. And it took me about 4 days of looking at the various proposals that had been submitted to realize, oh my gosh, you mean the theory of relativity really means relativity? It means that it's just exactly as correct or defensible to say that the sun goes around the Earth as it is to say that the Earth goes around the sun. This was absolutely astounding to me. Now, smart guys who've really studied physics, they know this. But they don't share it with us.
It's the big secret, isn't it?
Well, it is. And this is what got me interested. I was just fascinated by this. I said, what in the world? How could I have spent my entire adult life laboring under the delusion that obviously had been experimentally proved? Come on. I mean, if there are very few things, George, that everybody in the world can agree upon. I mean,
oh, my God. Take today as an example, this tragedy in Paris.
Oh, absolutely.
Jeez.
And it seems like there are fewer and fewer things that we can all agree upon, and this is one of them. Everybody knows that it has been long since experimentally established that the Earth is going around the sun. I was completely astounded to realize that no experiment has ever been able to directly measure that motion, and that the theory of relativity actually comes into existence to explain why no experiment has ever been able to do that.
So are you saying it is conceivable, very conceivable, that the Earth is not going around the sun, that the sun is going around the Earth?
Well, I can tell you that physics is not able to provide us with any experimental proof.
Poor old Copernicus is turning over in his 1,500-year-old grave.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. You know, I mean, it's one thing to make a very convincing argument. And Copernicus had an absolutely astoundingly convincing argument. You really have to understand why the Copernican theory won the day. It's completely, incredibly persuasive. But there's a difference, an important one, between a plausible argument and a scientific demonstration. They had the plausible argument. I think it's reasonable to say they still have a plausible argument. What they don't have, and they have never had, is a scientific demonstration.
Why not?
Well,
I guess
that's a great question. That's a great question. There's two possible answers to that question. Possibility number one is that the theory of relativity is true, and that we cannot measure what they call absolute motion. Now, think about this for a second. Let's say we're in the middle of a merry-go-round, right? And we watch the horses start to go around us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we obviously assume the merry-go-round's turning, right? until we looked down and noticed that we're on a chair, and the chair is spinning, and the merry-go-round is standing still.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is the idea of the relativity of motion. By purely visual means, you can't establish whether you're moving or whether the merry-go-round is moving. And this is just an incredibly powerful insight into the nature of reality. So what happens is this. Newton, primarily it was Newton, who came up with the absolutely killer proof, or at the time was considered to be proof, that the Earth had to be going around the sun. It's a little thing that's called gravity. I mean, that's a pretty persuasive argument. I mean, the sun's really, really big.
Well, and you know, before Copernicus, everybody believed it was the other way around.
This is what's so fascinating. And you've put your finger on something that is truly the reason I made this film. This is the most interesting thing in history to me. 400 years ago, George, if I said to you that the Earth was going around the sun, you'd think I was crazy.
Burn you at the stake, Rick.
Precisely. And today, if I tell you that the sun is going around the Earth, it's exactly that. Thank God they don't burn people at the stake anymore. I think that's a good thing. And I'm very happy to say that the penalty for suggesting such an heretical idea now is less extreme, and I think that's a good thing. But believe me, you want to see some veins popping out of foreheads, you just simply ask somebody to provide you with the experimental proof of the Earth going around the sun, and they will find out, just as I did, that there is none. And so why? Well, because either relativity is right, and we can't tell whether we're moving or the sun's moving, and physics can only talk about relative motion. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that the Earth is actually at rest in the center of the universe, just as every human being essentially believed for thousands of years. So it's an incredibly interesting question, because when you think about it, there's one idea that brings the modern world into existence and puts the medieval world in the rearview mirror, and that's the idea that the Earth moves.
And what do we do about those who believe that the planet is merely 6,000 years old?
Well, you know, I have to tell you, I'm fascinated by that question, too. And I hope that if the principle is successful, that I can address that question in my next film. Because there are very interesting questions on that front, too.
I mean, I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. Scientists are telling me that the dinosaurs were millions of years old. And
well, but here's the thing, George. They're also finding dinosaurs with soft tissues all over the world.
Yeah.
Look, I don't pretend to have the magic bullet answer for any of this. What I think is important is that we ask the questions. Because, really, when you get right down to it, science can tell us so much about reality, but it can't tell us all.
So are you saying that Copernicus, when he came up with his theories back in the 14 and 1500s, that the Earth went around the sun, are you saying he's wrong?
I am saying that his argument, while very plausible, has not been able to be scientifically demonstrated. And this inability to demonstrate it has led to amazing changes in science. We had to go to a completely new theory of physics, the theory of relativity, because every attempt to experimentally measure this motion that everybody was certain was occurring kept returning the puzzling result of zero motion. And this went on for 200 years. I mean, the smartest guys in the world tried to measure this motion of the Earth around the sun directly for 200 years and failed. And it was only at the end of the 19th century, 1887, that the final definitive go at this failed. And physics was faced with a crisis. Why in the world are we not seeing the evidence that we assume we should see of this motion? There are really only two possibilities. Number one, you'll hang it up and say, well, I guess it's not going around the sun. Well, we can't have that, right?
But it's possible.
It is certainly possible. And but the other alternative is that our physics was wrong, that Newton was wrong.
And then it's all wrong.
And Einstein essentially came up with the answer that explained why all of these experiments were failing to measure this motion. That's the theory of relativity. And when you think about it, that's the second great world change. Copernicus changes the medieval world into the Enlightenment world, and then Einstein changes the Enlightenment world into the modern world.
Now, Rick, if it's wrong, I'll put that in quotes, if it's wrong, what does that mean?
Well, that means that we're on the verge of yet another massive cultural shift. Because really, it's been my discovery from researching this film that this question of our place in the cosmos is absolutely fundamental to our culture. Because when you think about it, whoever gets to tell the story about reality and creation and the way things really are, that's the most powerful tool in the world. If you are able to tell a child, look, you're the center of the universe, God created the universe, and it all revolves around us, well, that child is going to grow up with a certain view of reality.
That's right.
If you tell that same child, you're an insignificant pebble orbiting an insignificant sun.
You mean nothing.
Yes, exactly. And this is why this fundamental question of our place in the cosmos is so fascinating. And I got to tell you, George, here's the most amazing thing of all. To the very best of my knowledge, nobody's ever made a film about this before.
Except you.
So, I mean,
bingo.
I just think I've lucked into this. I've pretty much lucked into what is really a fascinating question.
By the way, your production values are just superb.
Oh, thank you very much. I can't take credit for those. My director, Catherine Thomas, just did an absolutely stupendous job on this film. All of the brilliant people who worked on this film, Boeuf Company of Paris, who did the animations, these guys worked for millions and millions of dollars, and they got fascinated in the film.
I'm in Del Rio, Texas, on the night you are going to debut this in Burbank, on the 23rd of this month, right?
That's right.
I am in Del Rio, Texas, so I'm going to have to see all of this when I come back.
I'll tell you, George, we're going to be in Texas February the 5th in Dallas.
I'll be back here then.
Oh, great. Yeah, we'll be playing. We should be playing out here. And, you know, if folks come and folks like it, we'll be expanding throughout the country.
You've got our friend Michio Kaku, the physicist.
Oh, yes. Michio was very great.
He said something in your film which astounded me, and I want you to try to explain it for us.
Okay.
He said that cosmology is in crisis.
Yes, he did.
What does he mean by that?
Well, here's the thing, and it's fascinating, and I love Michio because he's so upfront about this. We have two great theories, two fantastic scientific theories. For the large, we have the theory of relativity. It deals with stars and galaxies and planets and things we can see with the naked eye. And then on the other end of the scale, we have a fantastically wonderful theory called the quantum theory. And that deals with the very small, the things we can't see with the naked eye, the structure of atoms and so forth. Now, here's the crisis. When we try to put these two theories together and explain the universe as a whole, the numbers are so stupendously wrong that Michio calls it in the film the greatest contradiction between theory and observation in the history of science. That's a crisis. And it's a big one.
It's huge.
It really is, because what it tells us, and you can see, there's two ways to look at this. You can either bash these poor scientists, which I don't think you do, because it's hard. It's hard to figure out a universe, you know? Or you can say, gosh, you know, we're about to learn something. We're on the verge of the next stage here. We're going to have, I firmly believe, that our children will grow up with a different creation story than we have grown up with. And that's going, if history is any guide, that's going to have a dramatic effect on our culture. I don't believe that we are going to be that insignificant pebble orbiting that insignificant sun. In the next stage of our view of our place in the cosmos.
Rick, we are all seeking answers as to who are we, what are we doing here, what's it all about, and not a lot of us get that answer. We live, we die, and we don't get that answer. And assuming there's a hereafter, well, maybe they learn something in that realm. But it's a quest for all of us. And I hope with your film, The Principal, that we get a little closer to trying to get those answers.
Boy, I do too. And I have to tell you that you're so right. It's like Michio says in the film, it's hardwired into us to ask these questions. It's just something about the human experience that causes us to ask, who are we? Why are we here? What does it all mean? And I think that's an extraordinarily beautiful thing about us.
Yeah.
And I think it's something that makes us consistently change and grow and adapt to the information that comes to us through our incredibly powerful now ability to look out at the largest scales of the cosmos. The reason we made the film is that over the last 10 years, what cosmologists are seeing on the very largest scales of the universe is absolutely astounding. This whole idea of us being nothing special, of us having no relationship at all to the large scale structure of the cosmos is being exploded right before our eyes. And this is so incredibly unexpected, so incredibly contrary to this idea of the Copernican principle, which just basically says that the Earth is not in any special location in the cosmos. The evidence that we are acquiring now that would tend to challenge that foundational Copernican principle is just amazing. And so we are very happy to be able to get the smartest guys in the world, the guys who've actually made these discoveries, to go on camera and talk to us about it.
We're going to get into a lot of this with you tonight, Rick. I want to get your thoughts on this. And on a tragic day that religion has played a role in the deaths of 12 people in Paris, I'm going to ask you, how spiritual are you? Did religion play a factor for you when you were doing this?
Oh, absolutely. I can assure you that it did. I just want to say, regarding the events, the incredibly tragic events in Paris today, that if my two cents, for whatever it's worth, if your religion requires you to walk in to a public place with an automatic weapon and indiscriminately start murdering people, you need a better religion. That's all I can say about that.
And better people.
Amen.
And better people. So as you were putting this together, did you come across any obstacles?
Well, we did. What I discovered is that this question, there's just something about this question. You mentioned they burned heretics at the stake.
Yeah.
Why would you burn somebody at the stake over this? Well, because this question really determines the entire view of the world that the human race possesses at any given moment in history. And whenever you have the power to define the creation story, to tell the children in schools who and what we are, that is the greatest power of all. That's more than military power. That's more than economic power. That is the power to shape the worldview through which everything will be interpreted. So when you happen to be born at a time when that dominant worldview is starting to tumble, well, that's an interesting time.
Sure is. Stay with us, Rick. We're going to take this break. We're going to come back and chat more, get into some of the controversial aspects of The Principal as well. If you need to email me, that's george@coasttocoastam.com. We'll be right back. Beyond Belief, that's our television program. It is available to you to watch for free for weeks. Simply go to this website, beyondbelief.com, and sign up for it and find out why so many people are doing the same thing. Welcome back. We're with the producer, executive producer of The Principal. Rick Delano is with us as we talk about things that are happening in the world, in the universe. Wait till I get you, Rick, to tell me how you think this all started.
Well, I think that the issue really boils down to the fact that we are seeing things in our telescopes now on the very largest scales of the universe that are astounding, that simply do not fit the narrative of us as an insignificant speck of cosmic dust. There's something very, very special about our location in the universe. And this is exactly, ironically enough, what the ancient cosmology told us, and it's the exact opposite of what the Copernican principle tells us.
Do you think we're alone in the universe?
I do. And the reason that I do is that I actually had a wonderful discussion about this very question with Max Tegmark in the film. And Max has actually come to the same conclusion. And, of course, Max is an atheist. He has no religious foundation.
And no agenda.
Yeah, to him it's simply a mathematical probability question. And here's his argument in a nutshell. Okay, let's assume that the universe is 13.8 billion years old and that there are, billions of planets perfectly good for life in our galaxy, which, by the way, is a very safe assumption at this point. I mean, there's really good evidence that there are perfectly good planets for life all over our galaxy. Okay. Now, under those assumptions, billions of those planets are going to be billions of years older than Earth. And here's where the question starts to really bite, because, okay, we flew for the first time in 1903 under power. We left the solar system 2 years ago, or 3 years ago. So 100-some-odd years from first powered flight to first object outside the solar system. Now stop and think. Where are we going to be?
And even cut it in half. We went to the moon.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just amazing.
In 60-some years after we started to fly.
It's just amazing. Okay. So given that, think where we're going to be in a billion.
If we're here.
Billion years. If we're here, yeah. So Max's argument basically boils down to this. There's been much more than enough time for, if these planets are perfectly good for life and life is everywhere and they're billions of years older than us, somebody should have turned us into a parking lot long since.
Now, you negate, though, all these UFO reports and abduction cases and things like that.
I cannot negate them.
Okay, good.
I don't have the ability to negate those reports, because if somebody's going to make a personal testimony about something that's happened to them, I am not in a position to say, hey, you know what? That didn't happen.
Right.
All I can do is say it's a puzzle. It's a real puzzle, because if these things are occurring, then we should be able to have excellent, abundant evidence, not just through the abductions, but through the signatures of these civilizations in their power use, in transportation, their communication signals, and we just don't see that. So it's a puzzle. I don't deny that it could be that the truth is being withheld from us. That I certainly, I can't deny.
That's possible. That's very possible.
I can't deny it. But all I can go by is by what the scientific evidence that is put out there and seems to be reasonably well established tells us, is that it's a paradox. On the one hand, there's billions of planets perfectly good for life just in our galaxy. That is very solid scientific evidence. On the other hand, we see an astonishingly silent universe, at least according to the sensors like SETI and the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. It's a very quiet universe out there, so it's a puzzle.
Let me ask you this. With everything that's been happening in this universe, now they're beginning to discover dark matter. They still have no idea what it is, but they're beginning to say, my God, this plays a role in this too.
Yes.
How many more things are out there that we just have no idea what they are?
Well, there's another great question, because if I'm right, and it's not really me that's right, but if the philosophers of science that I have been most impressed by are correct, the answer is it's limitless. That science is not a body of knowledge. Science is a method for overturning what we think we know. 400 years ago, you were crazy if you thought the Earth was going around the sun. Today, you think you're crazy if you think it isn't. That may be about to change again. Why? Because we have a method, this wonderful method called the scientific method, which rigorously tests our assumptions by experiment. And over again, you see that the history of scientific progress is the history of overturning what everybody was sure was true over and over again. It's a little unsettling, but then again, it seems that there's so much more out there that we don't know than that we do.
Oh, that is true. That is absolutely true. How much of this, then, because you've taken a look at faith and science, you've got to add that to the into this ingredient of what this is all about.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why we chose the principle. We chose the Copernican principle because it is that incredibly interesting place where faith and science and culture and philosophy all bump up against each other. This question of our place in the cosmos is bigger than just a scientific question. It has implications for how we view ourselves as a species. It has implications for the kind of culture we're going to create. And while science can tell us it's part of the story, it can't tell us all of the story. So when we decided to make this film, we decided to bring together a lot of different thinkers from all over the map. I mean, mavericks and dissidents and established scientists and address this not only in its scientific aspects, but in what I think is a more important aspect. You know, really, at the end of the day, the universe is either organized around us, and we are really, really special, or we are just an insignificant speck in cosmic space. And those two propositions, both of them can't be true. One of them has to be false. And the decision that we as a species make about how we are going to interpret the scientific evidence of our place in the cosmos has enormous implications for the kind of culture we create for ourselves.
With the Earth, in your opinion, being in the center of all of this, what does that tell you?
Well, I think it's a tremendously powerful argument for intelligent design. I personally just cannot find any reasonable grounds upon which to suspect that could be an accident. If it turns out that the Earth is actually in a extremely unlikely, special, privileged position with respect to the large-scale structure of the cosmos, I think it is a devastating argument against the present dominant worldview, in, at least in science, that this is an undesigned an uncreated universe. I think it's a very powerful, and I think that explains why you've had some of the controversy about the film. This question has the potential to change the way we view our place in the universe.
The fact that you believe we're in the middle of the universe, tell me the significance of that, too.
Okay. I want to be very clear here. To really talk about center, you have to know the perimeter.
Okay.
And we don't. You know, we know what we can see.
We don't know the beginning or the end.
That's correct. So my argument is we can only do science based on what we can observe. What we can see is what we can do science on. Now, science tells us that the universe, the observable universe, consists in a sphere about 40 billion years in radius. We're smack dab right in the middle of it. Now, the scientists would say, well, yeah, that's true, but it's also irrelevant because there's so much more we can't see. And my answer to that is, okay, I thought science was about what we could observe, test, and measure. But any way you look at it, as we look out at the cosmos from the Earth, we see evidence that our location in that cosmos is absolutely astoundingly related to the very largest things we can see out there. They're pointing out a special direction, what they call an axis of evil. It's an interesting term.
Yeah, it sure is. I heard that once during the Bush administration.
Well, that's where they got it from. It's really funny. These scientists were basically making these discoveries back around the time of the Iraq invasion. And so they sort of took the term axis of evil and applied it to these strange observations of the cosmos. And this is a real problem for cosmology, because if you have a Big Bang, right, everything should be the same everywhere. There should be no up, no down, no left, no right, no center, no edges. And there certainly shouldn't be a special direction across the entire visible universe that's related to us. That is so astounding that it's really causing some headaches in the scientific community. And that is essentially what the subject of our film is that we could be on the verge of a similarly powerful shift in our view of reality, in our view of our place in the cosmos, something even comparable to relativity or even comparable to the Copernican revolution itself.
Rick, when you put the principle together, what was the main thing that you learned from it?
Well, I learned a couple of very interesting things. I think the most important thing I learned is that the men who do cosmology are...
The Kakus and people like that.
These guys have incredible minds. Most of them are atheists, which definitely is different than my view.
Mm-hmm.
But they have this saving grace about them. They are so committed.
And they're open.
Yeah.
They're open.
They are committed to the scientific method. That is their approach to truth. And consequently, if you get them to loosen their ties and talk from the heart, which I think that's what makes our film special, is that we did that, they disclose an almost beautiful commitment to this idea that science should go where the evidence leads it. And on the other side of the coin, when the media started jumping all over this film, the poor guys were obviously under a lot of pressure to distance themselves from the project, which is another irony. But what I learned is that I think all of us live in a world where certain ideas are simply not permitted in polite conversation. I call them thought crimes, and this is one of them. It is clearly the case that anybody who challenges the Copernican principle is in fact committing a thought crime and is going to pay the price. But then again, that's what good documentary filmmaking, in my opinion, is all about. It exists, in my view, to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
Where does the divine creator fit in the puzzle of the principle?
Well, it's not specifically a religious film. It is a film that examines the scientific evidence, but the overtones are very clear. If the Earth is in the center of the universe, then somebody put it there. I am absolutely persuaded that 99% of humanity would agree with me that if it were to be established by scientific method that the Earth is in a special or central location in the cosmos, that cannot be an accident. And therefore, the alternative view of an intelligent design, of a cosmos that is designed by an intelligent creator, suddenly becomes enormously powerful. And I think that threatens a lot of people.
In your opinion, what is God?
I believe that God is the theologians call necessary being. When you think about it, nothing comes from nothing, right? If you got nothing, you're not going to get anything from nothing. But yet we look around us and there's clearly something, right? That something had to come from something, right?
Exactly.
It brought itself into existence. The universe cannot have created itself. It cannot have existed before it began to exist. So it had to be brought into existence by something that does not itself begin to exist. That is the fundamental first apprehension of God, is a necessary being, not like us, that begins and ends and changes and grows old, but a being that is being itself. That's the first apprehension of the Creator. The second apprehension of the Creator, for me, is that when we look at the world, it's more than just the numbers and the math. It's more than just the science. You know, we love, we understand justice, we understand fairness and equity. These are concepts which cannot be reduced to a mathematical equation. And these things that are above, if you will, the material level of existence, I think that they provide a very powerful argument that creation cannot be reduced in the end just to the material aspect.
This is an amazing project that you put together, but it was also very controversial. I want to talk about that next hour.
Okay.
It was not easy for you, was it?
Not at all. Not at all.
Did you think you're going to go in, you're going to make a little film about cosmology? No big deal. You get a few experts on. You didn't think it was going to be controversial.
I had no remote clue that this film would stir up the kind of worldwide media assault.
I mean, like boycott attempts?
Oh, yes. We were
scientists saying they were tricked on the film? We'll get into all that.
It's a fascinating story. It really is.
The bottom line here is that we just don't know, do we?
Absolutely. By science alone, we just do not know. We can never see it all. Everything we think we have established, like the law of gravity. The law of gravity is one of the most certain things in all of our existence.
Critical. It's critical.
It's critical. Guess what? It's not only wrong, it's drastically wrong on any scale larger than a stellar cluster. They have to invent 96% of the energy and mass in the universe out of thin air to make our gravitational equations work with spiral galaxies. That is astounding. Why is it that more people don't understand this? When you look at a spiral galaxy, it does not behave the way that our concepts of gravitation here at the solar system level behave. Either our theories are wrong, or else we have to find 96% of the universe that we haven't been able to find. That's an astounding thing.
It is astounding indeed. Where do people find you on your website?
Well, the movie website is theprinciplemovie.com, and it is P-R-I-N-C-I-P-L-E, theprinciplemovie.com. And there are a lot of resources there, clips from the film, backgrounds on all the controversy, and of course, links to our theatrical showings.
Okay, we're going to come back in a moment. We'll talk more with our special guest, Rick Delano, about his film, The Principle, right here on Coast to Coast AM. And yes, later on, we'll open up the phone lines, too.